Good evening, and it's good to be able to spend some time this evening in a study of God's Word. If you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 8, this evening, we're going to be talking about how it is that we are led by the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that you're here, and I hope that this study this evening will be encouraging. Recently, I was asked to do some writing on how it is that Christians do things by the Spirit. And it's a very important topic. It's one that a lot of brethren talk about today. And I want to share with you this evening the fruit of that study. We'll do some of it this evening, and Lord willing, we will do the rest next Sunday evening. The Christian does many things by the Spirit. What we're doing here right now, what you've been doing over the past 15 minutes or so, has been things that you've been doing by the Spirit. And what we did earlier today and what you're going to do tomorrow, there'll be some things tomorrow that you'll do by the Spirit, and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and so forth. It's something that is to be a part of our life each and every day. The Holy Spirit does work in us. And we're going to see this evening how that is the case. And so we're going to be focusing our attention tonight and next Sunday night, Lord willing, on this statement, by the Spirit. We do so many things by the Spirit. And we're not the only ones. In the Bible, Old Testament prophets did things by the Spirit. Jesus did things by the Spirit. The apostles did things by the Spirit. New Testament Christians that were able to work miracles, they did things by the Spirit. But this evening, we're going to look at what all Christians for all time do by the Spirit. And maybe you have talked with people before about this matter, maybe even some members of the church. And they'll say something like, I was led by the Spirit to go do this, and I was led by the Spirit to go do that. And it had to do with something at work or school or finding a parking spot or, you know, finding a store to go to shop in. I was led by the Spirit. If brethren haven't said that, you'll hear that from time to time, maybe even from denominational people. What does it mean to be led by the Spirit? And is He leading us to do those kinds of things? That's what we want to talk about this evening. But I just want to begin. We're actually going to look at several verses here this evening in Romans chapter 8. But look at verse 9, Romans 8, 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. The Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is in us. And then in verse 11, if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you. The Bible teaches that the Spirit dwells in us. You can also look at 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 2 Timothy 1:14. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19, that the Spirit is in you. In 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 8 and 1 John 3:24, the Holy Spirit has been given us. These are ways that the New Testament tells us that the Holy Spirit is in us. The question is, how? It's never been a question, even among brethren, that the Holy Spirit is in us. But the question is, how? How does He operate within us? And so this evening, I want to look primarily at Romans chapter 8 and Galatians chapter 4, and we're going to hone in on one thing that is said here. Look at verse 14, Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We're going to spend some time this evening talking about being led by the Spirit of God. How does the Holy Spirit lead you and I? This question has been asked many times by brethren. And to ask the question, how does the Holy Spirit lead us, is to ask a question about manner or means. What is the manner or means, or we might say instrumentality, that the Holy Spirit uses to lead us. That is the key to our lesson this evening. How does He operate in our lives? Does He operate directly or does He operate indirectly? Does He operate directly in some miraculous way or some way other than the New Testament Word, or does He operate through the Word? Well, to answer that question, just like any question, we need to turn to the Bible. I know sometimes on this topic that brethren will bring up points, and they'll make points, but they don't follow it up with a verse or a passage to demonstrate what they're saying. We're going to be turning to the Word of God to demonstrate what we're saying this evening. So let's look at Romans chapter 8. We're going to look at the two places tonight where Paul talks about being led by the Spirit, in Romans 8 and in Galatians 5. And if we have some time this evening, we'll start to begin looking at some other things that Christians do by the Spirit. But I want to lay the groundwork this evening in Romans 8 and Galatians 4 because it's going to help us to understand the rest of our material. How does the Holy Spirit lead us? We're going to find this evening, brethren, that the Holy Spirit leads us through His Word. And when I make that statement, I have to demonstrate that by turning to the Scriptures. And that's what we're going to do this evening. So turn with me to Romans chapter 8, and we're going to begin reading in verse 1. And we're going to look at this passage and go down through this passage and see how it is that the Holy Spirit leads us. Now, look at verse 14. For as many of you as are led by the Spirit, these brethren that get this letter from the Apostle Paul, when it comes to chapter 8 and verse 14 and they read that verse, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. When they read that verse and they're thinking in their mind, okay, Paul, how is it that the Holy Spirit leads me? And they don't have Paul to ask. He's not around. All they have is the letter. What has been said up to this point that would answer that question? Stop and think about it. If all you had was a letter from Paul, and there's a verse that says the Holy Spirit leads you, you're going to be thinking, okay, what has been said up to this point that's going to help me to answer that question? That's a natural way to handle that. So let's do that. Let's back up in the context and let's do that. So look with me at Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. If you start reading in chapter 7, Paul had made the point that while he was living under the law, he was condemned. But at the very end of chapter 7, the person who delivered him from that condemnation, chapter 7, verse 25, was Jesus Christ. So when in chapter 8, verse 1, he writes, therefore, he had just been making the point that under the old law, he was condemned. But now there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and of death. So what we're going to find here, brethren, is if you're taking some notes, if you start in verse 14 and you say, okay, the Spirit leads me, verse 14, if you back up and begin reading where this section begins, you're going to find that it starts with the Spirit's law, the Spirit's words. This is very, very important. If somebody read verse 14 and said, well, Paul, how does the Spirit lead us? Paul would say, what did I say back in verse 2? So the first thing that is mentioned here is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. What is the law of the Spirit of life? What is that? Well, in the book of Romans, what is it that makes a person a Christian? The law of the Spirit of life, that spiritual life, that law is the gospel. That's why Paul starts off in Romans 1:16 that it's the gospel that is the power of God into salvation. So it's the law of the Spirit of life It's the gospel, the words of the gospel, the law of the gospel, the law of Christ. That's what made Paul and others free from the law of sin and of death. In verse 2, the law of sin and death is not the Old Testament law. It's not that. If you'll back up to chapter 7 and verse 23, I see a different law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity under the law of sin, which is in my members. That's not the Old Testament law. So in verse 2, the law of the Spirit of life made me free from the law of sin and of death. That law, that rule that was ruling in me, sin and death, that's what was ruling in me. And when he was under the old law, and the old law, and this is the challenge in the book of Romans, law doesn't always mean the same thing. If you back up to chapter 7, verse 10, and start reading back there, you are talking about the law of Moses. But when Paul was living under the law of Moses, he also had this law of sin and death ruling in him. It was a practice of sin, if you will, law in the sense of practice or rule. And in chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, it was the gospel, the law of the Spirit of life, that made him free from that rule of sin and death that was in his body. Now, look up here. Paul, in Romans chapter 8, is making a contrast. He's making a contrast between Christians walking after the flesh and Christians who were going to be led by the Spirit. And so, take note of these contrasts, and when you do, you're going to realize how it is in verse 14 that the Holy Spirit is leading me. Some people will say, well, you know, I just feel the Holy Spirit. We can't go by feelings and what we think and opinions and all of that kind of thing. In verse 14, the text says, Paul says, we are led by the Spirit. But you've got to back up and see what that is. And that's what we're going to do this evening. So let's start with verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life, that's the gospel, that's the words of the Spirit, the gospel in Christ Jesus, made me free from the law of sin and death. So here was Paul at one time practicing sin and death, but the law of the Spirit, the words of the Spirit, the gospel of the Spirit made him free from that sin. For what the law could not do, this is going back now to the law of Moses, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, Jesus died as a sin offering for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. When Jesus lived in the flesh and died on the cross as a man, he condemned sin in the flesh. Look at this, that the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Starting right here, there is a contrast between walking after the flesh and walking after the Spirit. Let's talk about what that contrast is. To walk after the flesh, Paul is not using the word flesh to talk about your skin. He's not talking about your skin. Flesh here would be the desires of man that are contrary to the Word of God. So flesh here is what we would call fleshly desires. Any desire that is contrary to what God wants you to be. I can either walk after that or I can walk after the Spirit. So what does it mean to walk after? Look at the word after. I'm following that. I'm desiring that. It is leading me. My fleshly sinful desires are leading me and I'm walking. Now let's talk about that word walk. Characteristic of the Apostle Paul is you almost have to define every word he uses to make sure that we understand. So look at the word walk. He's not talking about literally walking. He's using the word walk to mean live or lifestyle. So I can either have a lifestyle that is following after fleshly desires, or I can have a lifestyle each and every day that walks by or walks after the Spirit. Now, we've already been introduced in verse 2 that there is the law of the Spirit of life. This is very important. God does not give us the law of the Spirit of life to save us. And then when we want to live faithfully as a Christian, listen carefully, He does not give us something else. He gives us the law of the Spirit of life to become a Christian, and He gives us the law of the Spirit of life to keep living as a Christian. When you read Romans chapter 8, you're not going to find that God gives us the law of the Spirit of life, and then later, with regard to leading us, He'll give us inner feelings and this and that. I have spoken to brethren, and not really that long time ago, and not that far away, who make this point. They say that the Holy Spirit uses words, He uses the gospel, He uses the law of the Spirit of life to bring you to Christ, but after you're a Christian, when He dwells in you and leads you, it's through some other way than the law of the Spirit of life. The Bible just does not teach that. The law of the Spirit of life, verse 2, makes us free from the law of sin and death, and it's that same message, that same law, that the Spirit uses to lead us. So, the Christian can walk after the flesh, or the Christian can walk after the Spirit. Now, before we go any farther, why am I talking about the Christian this evening? Come back with me to Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. Romans 6, 1. Paul, in three chapters, Romans 6, 7, and 8, talks about the Christian after they've been baptized. Look at Romans 6, 3 and 4. These people have already been baptized. One of the problems was, Romans 6, 1, some of them had this attitude that I'm going to continue in sin after I've been baptized. So Paul writes three chapters, Romans 6, 7, and 8, to talk about how the Christian is supposed to be living after they've been baptized. Okay? They're not to continue living in sin. They are to be a servant of righteousness, chapter 6. In chapter 7, they have been discharged from the old law of Moses. That's not a part of their life. And then in chapter 8, they are to be led by the Spirit. 6, 7, and 8 is talking about Christians and how they're supposed to live after they've been baptized. That clearly has to do with you and I here today, of course. So when we come to chapter 8, first of all, we're talking about Christians. Christians who are making a choice. I either get up each day and I follow after the flesh, what I feel and what I want, or I let the law of the Spirit of life guide me and lead me. So let's pick up our reading then in verse 4. That the ordinance of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Let's look at the next contrast. There are people who can mind the things of the flesh. So what does the word mind here mean? It means to set my thoughts and my attention. My attitude, my thoughts, my attention is set on either following the flesh, or my mind and thoughts are set on following the law of the Spirit. So when you get up each day, you either mind the flesh or you mind the things of the Spirit. What are the things? Look at the word things. What are the things? The things of the flesh. What are the things of the flesh? Well, hopefully this evening, if we can get to Galatians in just a minute, we'll read about what we call the works of the flesh. There are many things that are fleshly. There's sexual sins and other kinds of sins. We're not going to mind those things. What are we going to do? We're going to mind the things of the Spirit. Look at that verse right there. If somebody raised their hand and said, well, Paul, what are the things of the Spirit? What are these things? What would Paul tell them? He had already written about the law of the Spirit of life. The things of the Spirit are not just some nebulous things out there. They are the things that have been written right here. These are the things of the Spirit. From Matthew to Revelation, those are the things of the Spirit. And we read those things. We read about those things. We don't feel those things. We don't, well, I get up each day in the Spirit. I'm going to mind the things of the Spirit. No, I'm just going to try to feel what those are. No. We read. That's why you'll hear me say a lot. I will often tie in points in my sermons. I will often tie them in to daily Bible reading. That is why that is so important. When you're reading your New Testament daily, you are minding that you're learning what the things are of the Spirit. Oh, this thing and that thing. I need to be doing this thing and I need to be doing that thing. That's why our daily Bible reading is so important. Because I need to know what the things of the Spirit are so that I can mind those things. So what Paul is saying here is that after you've been baptized, you've got a choice. You can mind the things of the flesh or you can mind the things of the Spirit. Well, let's see what happens. Let's keep reading. Verse 6. For the mind of the flesh is death. The word death there is not physical death. It's spiritual death. When we mind the things of the flesh, verse 6, we're going to die spiritually. You mind the things of the flesh each day, you're going to die spiritually. You're going to have sin in your life. So you can mind the things of the flesh, but it's going to lead to death. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. That's what you want in your life. That's what I want in my life. So when I mind the things of the Spirit, it leads me to have spiritual life and spiritual peace. By the way, there's a lot of people in this world that aren't at peace. Okay? You know how do you get peace in your life? Mind the things of the Spirit. That's the greatest prescription you could ever have. Mind the things of the Spirit. It leads to life and peace. Verse 7. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. Now, if you'll notice up here on the chart, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. I've got 4 lines there on the left-hand side that don't have a corresponding right-hand side. There's a few statements here that Paul is going to make where he doesn't put an antithesis on the other side. He doesn't put a contrasting statement on the other side. He's going to make 4 statements here in a row, but he doesn't give the corresponding antithesis. He's simply describing, if you mind the flesh, it's going to lead to death, but here are some other things that it's going to lead to. So look with me, if you will, at verse 7. If we get up each day and we mind the flesh, it is, number 1, enmity against God. We are opposed to God. When we get up each day and we mind the things of the flesh and walk after the flesh, we're at enmity against God. And by the way, this is a very important passage because some people think, well, you know, I've been baptized and I go to a church of Christ and I'm good. I can do stuff throughout the week that's probably shouldn't be doing, but it's not a big deal because I'm a Church of Christ here and I go to Church of Christ and stuff. Paul is saying, you can be baptized, chapter 6, 3 and 4, you can be baptized, but you have to choose to mind the things of the Spirit. If you choose to mind the things of the flesh, he's reminding them, you're at enmity, you're at odds, you're at war with God. That's not a good thing. What else? Well, keep reading. Enmity against God. Look at this. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. When we get up each day and mind the things of the flesh, we're at enmity against God. Number 2, we are not subject to the law of God. We're not letting God's law rule and reign in my life. Why? I want to do my fleshly desires. At enmity against God, and number 2, I am not subject to the law of God. Now, this is something, if you take notes in your Bible or taking notes otherwise, you want to draw a circle around the phrase law of God in verse 7 and draw it back to law of the Spirit in verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life, verse 2, is the law of God, verse 7. And that's what Paul is saying that God uses to lead you. He doesn't say you've been made free by the law of the Spirit, but when it comes time for just daily leading, the Spirit's going to use feelings and a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart and all that kind of thing. Paul doesn't say that. Twice, Paul has mentioned the medium or the means by which the Spirit works. It's called the law of the Spirit and it's called the law of God. That's what the Spirit is using to lead us.
Okay?
So, at enmity against God, not subject to the law of God, let's keep reading, neither indeed can it be. As long as you are following the fleshly mind, you cannot be subject to the law of God and subject to the fleshly mind at the same time. It's like Jesus said, pick one or the other. You either serve God or mammon. So you're not bringing yourself under the law of God if you choose each day to mind and walk after the flesh. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. I needed to finish reading verse 8. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's the last thing. Number one, you're at enmity against God. Number two, you're not subject to the law of God. Number three, you can't be subject to the law of God in that state. And number four, you cannot be pleasing to God. This would, if you go back to chapter 6 and verse 1, this would really shake up the person there at Rome who's saying, let's continue in sin that grace may abound. Paul is saying, God forbid. He's putting a stop to this. And here's why. Chapter 8, you're not pleasing to God in that state. No, sir. It's a very serious thing. And that's why we have to get up each day and walk by the Spirit. We've got to mind the things of the Spirit. We've got to walk after the Spirit. How? By walking by the Spirit, the law of the Spirit, by the law of God. Very, very important. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Verse 9. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Everybody reads that verse, well, the Spirit dwells in us, and then all of a sudden they go crazy as to how that carries itself out. Well, I think He dwells in us this way, and I think He dwells in us that way. No, verse 9 says He dwells in us, but how does He do that? Well, let me show you something up here that will help. The Spirit dwells in us, verse 9. But you've got to start backing up this way. You've got to start, let me get on the right side of the chart. The Spirit dwells in us. We're down here around verse 9. You've got to back up. How does the Spirit dwell in us? When we are minding the Spirit, when we are minding the things of the Spirit, when we are after the Spirit, when we are walking after the Spirit, when we have the law of the Spirit. You've got to work your way back. If verse 9 down here says that the Spirit dwells in you, you've got to walk it back this way to see how that is. The Spirit is dwelling in me as I am minding the things of the Spirit and walking after the Spirit and following His law and following the law of God. Paul is telling you two things. Verse 9, the Spirit is in you, but in the context, he's telling you how the Spirit is in you. When you are doing these things and you are letting Him into your heart and mind and His law into you. Now, before we go any farther, just hold your hand there in Romans 8 and turn with me to Galatians 5, verse 17. In Romans 8, Paul does not give the antithesis, which is on the right-hand side of the chart. He doesn't give that contrast. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, he actually mentions it over there. So look at Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit. We've already seen that. We've already seen that in tonight's lesson. Walk by the Spirit. We've already seen that in Romans 8. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We've already seen that in Romans 8. It's a contrast between Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and our own fleshly lust. But look at verse 17. Verse 17 is the same thing as you're at enmity against God. You're not subject to God. You're not pleasing to God. Look at verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. When I walk after the flesh, those desires are contrary to the Spirit. They are against the Spirit. And the Spirit against the flesh. What is that saying? What the Spirit wants is different than what the flesh wants. One is against the other. They're not on the same page. They're not on the same team, if you will. One is against the other. That's what Paul said in Romans 8 when he said, you're at enmity against God. You're not on the same page as God. So when you follow the flesh, you are against the Spirit. And when you follow the Spirit each day, you are saying no to those fleshly desires. Look at this. for these are contrary the one to the other. That statement right there is the same as what Paul would say in Romans 8 as, you're at enmity against God. These are contrary the one to another, that you may not do the things that you would. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Again, the law of Moses there. So this idea of contrariness, when we get up and we follow the flesh, we're at contrary to what the Spirit would want us to do through His Word. Now, come back with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, let's keep reading. Verse 9. But you are not in the flesh. So we're at the bottom of this chart up here. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Look at this. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's not look at verse 9. It's not a done deal that you're going to be following the Spirit every day. Paul says, if so be that the Spirit dwells in you. That's up to you. Let me say that again. That's up to you. It's not a guarantee that you're just, once you're saved, you're always saved, and once you were baptized, then you just live any way you want. No, you have to get up each day and make a conscious choice that I'm going to let the Spirit be in me, and I'm going to follow His words. Okay, that is very important. If so be the Spirit of God dwells in you. You make that choice. How? By minding the things of the Spirit and following the things of the Spirit. This is a very important statement, verse 9. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, that means you don't have to have Him in your life. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Wow, that's a very big statement. Look at that in verse 9. You do not belong to Christ. You do not belong to Christ. I do not belong to Christ. Well, Brother Reeves, I was baptized and I go to a church of Christ. That's not, Paul says, in verses 2 through 9, I'm telling you the real way you know if someone is a child of God. When they mind the things of the Spirit and walk after the Spirit, that's what makes them a child of God. But if the Spirit of Christ, which is the same as the Spirit of life, if He, the Holy Spirit, is in you, and Christ's Spirit is in you, in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, both the Holy Spirit is in us and Christ is in us. Hopefully we'll be able to get to that verse sometime. Both are in us. But Paul says, if they are not in you, the way that we've been talking about here in verses 2, 3, 4, 5, then you are none of His. You do not belong to Christ. And that's a very serious thing. That's why every day we have to mind the things of the Spirit and walk after the Spirit. We want to belong to Christ. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the same way that the Holy Spirit is in us, as their Word is in us. The body is dead because of sin. We're not going to do sin. We're going to crucify sin. But the Spirit, our spirit, small s, is life because of righteousness. Following the mind of the Spirit is going to make us right. Verse 11, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through His Spirit that dwells in you. The last part of verse 11 is not talking about the resurrection at the end of time. This is not talking about being raised out of the grave. The last part of verse 11 is the same thing as chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. We've been raised to walk in newness of life. So when we let the Spirit dwell in us, we are raised to walk in newness of life. How? Through His Spirit that dwells in us. How does that take place? Again, minding the Spirit, walking after the Spirit, and so forth. Verse 12, so then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. Let me get on to the next chart here. Okay, and you can see, again, some of these contrasts. You've got the person who has not the Spirit of Christ, and then you have the person who lets Christ be in them. You have the person who does not truly belong to Christ. He is none of His. And then you have these statements that show that this Christian really is belonging to Christ. Come with me now to verse 12, and let's continue this series of contrasts. This whole chapter is a series of contrasts. So then, brethren, So then, Paul is going to start wrapping this up and concluding this thought. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh. We don't need to get up each day and be living according to those fleshly desires, to live after the flesh. We don't need to be doing that. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. This is not talking about spiritual death. This is not talking about physical death. It's talking about spiritual death. When we live after the flesh, we're going to die. We're going to sin and die spiritually and be separated from God. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit, so in verse 13, by the Spirit, and verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. How do I really know I'm a Christian? Not just simply because I've been baptized, chapter 6. It's because I am being led by the Spirit each and every day. That's how I am a true son of God. So, if you go back through the contrasts, then you find all the way down here, this is the one that everybody talks about. Well, we're led by the Spirit. How, Paul? You've got to back all the way up through here, and you got to keep going all the way back to verse 2, and you will find how that is the case. And all the way back in verse 2, it starts with what? The law of the Spirit of life. That's what the Spirit uses to lead us, and we need to be following that each and every day. Now turn with me to the book of Galatians, and hopefully we will be able to just get started on this, and we may need to conclude this next week. But turn with me to the book of Galatians, to the second place in the New Testament that I know of where being led by the Spirit is discussed. Turn with me to Galatians 5 and verse 18. I know of two places in the New Testament where it says we're led by the Spirit. One is Romans 8:14, and we've already established, not from opinion or what Chris thinks or feels, but we've already established by going back through the immediate context that it is by It all starts with the law of the Spirit and walking after that, okay? Let's see if that same thing holds up in the book of Galatians, and we're going to find that it does. So in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 18, Paul writes, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Paul has been writing the book of Galatians and really parts of Romans to deal with the same thing, that some were trying to take the law of Moses and make it a condition of salvation. They're called Judaizing teachers. Some of them had actually obeyed the gospel, but they were adding the law to it, that you have to be circumcised and follow the law of Moses in order to be saved. If you want to get the background to that, you can read the first 5 verses of Acts chapter 15. So some were trying to bind the old law. So Paul writes part of Romans and a good part of Galatians 2 and part of Philippians 3, to counteract this idea that you're saved by the law of Moses. So that's why he mentions there, we need to be led by the Spirit, and then we're not under law. It's not talking about we're not under law of Christ, but we're not under the law that he is counteracting in this particular document, which was the law of Moses. So, if Paul writes in verse 18, you are led by the Spirit, can we back up, just like we did in Romans 8, can we back up and read earlier anything that will help us to know how we're being led? And the answer is yes. So turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. You've got to go back to Galatians 3 to get the antecedent. And I don't have a chart on this one, so I don't have the back and forth, but I do have this. If you go back to chapter 3, when Paul begins to talk about the Spirit, he starts with an expression called the hearing of faith. So turn back with me to Galatians 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you? These Judaizing teachers who were saying that you need to go back to the law. Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified. This only I would learn from you. And he's going to talk about when he was in their area in Acts 13 and 14, and he's preaching the gospel, and the churches get started in Acts 13 and 14. When I was with you, in Acts 13 and 14, received you the Spirit by the works of the law? It's a rhetorical question. Or by the hearing of faith? It wasn't by the law. They didn't receive the Spirit by the Old Testament law. How did they receive the Spirit? I want you to underscore this. By the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. What is the hearing of faith? How do you get faith? Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It was the hearing of faith that they received the Spirit. Keep reading. Or are you foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Stop right there. Begun. Begun what? What did they begin? They began their Christian life. Did you begin your Christian life? Did you begin in the Spirit? Are you now perfected in the flesh? Did you begin when I came and preached the gospel to you? That's what saved you. That's when you first received the Spirit, when I preached the gospel to you. Did you begin in the Spirit? And then later, what made you complete was the flesh. The answer is no. Look at verse 4. Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it be in vain. He therefore that supplies to you the Spirit. Now this statement might include miraculous works that were done in the first century. And works miracles among you. Look at it again. Does he do it by the works of law? Were you able to do miracles by going back to the old law? No. Or by the hearing of faith. The hearing of faith. Hearing and obeying the gospel, number one, is how they became a Christian. And number two, it was on that setting that they were be able to work miracles. Now, obedience to the gospel did not make them work miracles. We know from the book of Acts that the apostles laid their hands on people and they were able to work miracles. But the entire beginning of their Christian life started with what? The hearing of faith. What is that? That is the words of God that we have faith in and we are obedient to. So it goes back to when Paul writes in chapter 5 and verse 18, well, led by the Spirit, they're going to be thinking, okay, I remember reading earlier in chapter 3 that whole thing began with the Spirit when there was the hearing of faith. Again, it goes back to obedience to God's Word. Look with me at chapter 3 and verse 14. 3:14. Paul has been talking about how that we are saved, just like the faith of Abraham. 3:14. That upon the Gentiles might come the blessing of Abraham. This is Genesis 12, 1 through 3. That in you all the nations would be blessed. The blessing of Abraham in Christ, look at this, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. What is the promise of the Spirit here? Well, it's tied to the promise to Abraham. The promise of the Spirit in verse 14 is the promise that we can be saved in Christ. That was the blessing that was given to Abraham. And the promise of the Spirit to be saved in Christ, how does it come about? Oh, look at this. Through faith. Faith comes up again. Did you notice that? So in chapter 3, 3 through 5, it's the hearing of faith. In chapter 3, verse 14, it's through faith. Now come with me to chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 5. Again, if brethren in Galatia hear led by the Spirit, chapter 5, 18, what are they going to be thinking about with regard to what they read earlier in this same book? Faith is tied to the Spirit. Faith is tied to the Spirit. Faith is tied to the Spirit. That's what they're going to be thinking. And so when they come down to chapter 5 and verse 18 and they're thinking, well, how does the Spirit lead me? What are they going to be thinking? By faith. Look at chapter 5 and verse 5 and we will wrap up here. For we through the Spirit, for we through the Spirit by faith wait for the hope of righteousness. It's always tied to faith in the book of Galatians. It's not tied to some inner feeling. I have a book where a guy describes the leading of the Spirit for the Christian today as he uses the word prodded. You're prodded and pulled and tugged this way. Paul says through faith every time. Every time he brings up the Spirit. Chapter 3, 3 through 5. Chapter 3, 14. Galatians 5:5. We are waiting for what? The hope of righteousness. How? By faith. It's through the Spirit, but it's by faith. So that's how the Spirit is leading us. Well, we will close with that, and Lord willing, we will pick up there next Sunday night. And we will begin to see then that there are other things that the Spirit does, or let me rephrase that, there are other things that the Christian does by the Spirit other than being led by the Spirit. So tonight's lesson was led by the Spirit. And it's the leading through the Spirit's words and our faith in those words. That's how the Spirit leads us. So Lord willing, we will look at other things that we can do by the Spirit next Sunday evening, Lord willing. So, there is, brethren talk about this a lot. It comes up a lot. Well, I'm led by the Spirit. Hopefully after tonight's lesson, when you're talking with them, here's what I would encourage you to do. When they bring up things like, well, I just think it's through feelings and prodding and pulling this way and, you know, encouraging me to do this. Say, friend, let's just take the two places in the New Testament where leading by the Spirit takes place, Romans 8 and Galatians, and let's just go back and read earlier in the context and see how that takes place. Maybe you can help people with that discussion. Well, we're going to stand and sing this song of encouragement, and we begin as a Christian. We begin our life. As Paul writes in Galatians 3, it begins by the Spirit. How does it begin? When I exercise my faith in His words and I obey Him. If we can help you to do that, we want to encourage you to do that. And there may be someone here this evening. Maybe going through Romans 8 was a good reminder to us that, you know, maybe I haven't always been living as I should. I've not been walking by the Spirit. And I found out tonight that I'm at enmity with God. I'm not pleasing to God. Wow. And I want to change that. And I want to do better with that, if we can help you with that as well. But let's, as we stand and sing, if you're subject to the invitation, why won't you come?